again for the final time is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In this text, in the original language, the word translated sure is placed forward in a position of emphasis. It is the Greek word stereos, from which we have our English word stereo. It means strong or certain. The foundation of God standeth sure, emphatically. On the one hand, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Objective, divine, unalterable. On the other hand, subjective, experiential. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We have considered the five doctrinal realities that undergird all Christian experience. Our union with Christ, regeneration, adoption, sanctification, and our resurrection unto glory. We have given the last few studies unto this final truth and reality. Our Christian experience does not end and will not end when we die and pass from this life. God's design is not simply to save the souls of men, but to save their entire being, and that includes the body. We have seen in our study that the hope and glory of the resurrection is that our body will correspond unto our Lord's resurrection body. This is the glory of it. We began this final part of our study by surveying introductory scriptures. We noted that the redemptive purpose is one. The same number and group of people are God's objects from election to glorification. We have seen that redemption includes the whole person, including the body. That believers are to have a great anticipation of the resurrection unto glory, and to anticipate that deliverance from a principle of indwelling sin and remaining corruption that will end at our physical death. We have studied the nature of the resurrection body. We have studied the manner of the resurrection unto life and glory. We have seen that the belief in immortality is instinctive in man because he is the image bearer of God. And we have noted erroneous concepts and views of life after death. Now I want to give some concluding thoughts and conclude this series of lectures. My first remarks are necessary, and I only give these by way of example. I am not criticizing, correcting, or critiquing some of the hymns that we sing. Some traditional hymns about death, about heaven, and about glory are simply based on tradition. I'm not critiquing them. When I say that these are false concepts, they simply are. But I'm giving them by way of examples. It has been traditional for centuries in our Western civilization to look upon the Jordan River as a type of death and Canaan as a type of heaven. We see this, for instance, in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. They go through the river of death and they go to the shining city. But we have hymns such as the following. On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I'm bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land, and so forth. The children of Israel crossed the river Jordan and entered into the land of Canaan, which was a scene of battles and conflict for 7 years. So Canaan, in that sense, is not a type of heaven or a type of rest. It had to be conquered. And it was a place of bloodshed and warfare. All I'm saying is that we should beware of singing things that are traditional and have fancy to them, but lack scriptural support. I give another example. Will there be any stars in my crown? Will there be any stars in my crown, when at evening the sun goeth down? When I'm there with the blessed in the mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? Speaking usually of souls won to Jesus in evangelism. The truth is, there will not be any stars in our crown. Well, where is the proof for this? Very simply, there are two words for crown in Greek. In the New Testament, one is diadema, that is diadem, from which we have a kingly crown made of gold and set with stones. Believers will have a stephanos, which is a victor's wreath made of gold or of leaves, and that had no stones in it. So we are not looking to gain a diadema, a diadem, a kingly crown, but a victor's wreath to those that overcome, and that will not contain any jewels and therefore any stars. I'm using these simply by way of example. We were speaking today at the lunch table. We were speaking about the easy believism of the day, about the decisionism of the day. And it's easy for us to give all of these things down the road, put them in a bad light. But the tragedy of it all is that many people believe they're converted and are not. They believe they're Christians and they're not. They believe they're going to heaven when they die and they're not. That's the great tragedy. To have a true saving interest in Christ is the greatest of blessings. To be deceived is the greatest of tragedies, because it's eternal. When we sing and speak about eternity, we want to be certain that we are as scriptural as we can be. And I'm afraid that oftentimes the thought of many well-meaning people concerning heaven or the hereafter is based upon tradition and unscriptural songs rather than the Word of God. I want to deal now several passages of Scripture with our final heading, preparing for eternity. In 1 John chapter 3, we read, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." We're admonished repeatedly in the Word of God that we are to live in anticipation of eternity. That our lives, although we may get old, we may suffer from dementia, disease, ill health, and we will eventually die before the Lord's return, if that is His purpose, but our anticipation of future glory does not change. However our earthly circumstances may, we are to live in anticipation of that glory which is to come. We of all people ought to be the perennial optimists, because in this life is the worst we will ever have, the worst we will ever experience, and in the life to come, eternal glory. So let me look at a few scriptures to confirm this to our thinking. Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. This present evil world is all that the unsaved have. This is the best they will ever experience. When this life is over, they go into damnation. But for the child of God, we are being delivered even now from this present evil world, and we are to live in anticipation of that life and glory which is to come. Colossians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul's ministry was pursued in light of eternity. Colossians chapter 3, the opening verses. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. He is speaking of the believer's union with Christ, for we are identified in His resurrection life. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, or literally, you died. You died by virtue of your union with Christ. You died to the old life. You died to the things of this life. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. So again, we are living with this anticipation of that glory which is to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Again, the focus of our present life, with all of its trials, adversity, and disappointments, is to be above and beyond these unto the coming of the Lord. I conclude with the final passage. It's a lengthy passage from 2 Peter chapter 3, reading verses 3 through 14. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's called uniformitarianism. Large, long geological ages for the process of evolution in which nothing has changed. For this they are willingly ignorant of. They are willingly ignorant of something. And what is that? That the flood took place in time and history that's verifiable. It's a matter of history. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God's Word maintains the present reality of this universe until the day of judgment that He has ordained when it will be dissolved in fire. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Peter's saying, live in anticipation of the future. Live in anticipation of the day of judgment. Live in anticipation of the glory that will be revealed. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, that is lifestyle, and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Repeatedly, and I have only quoted a few passages, the Word of God anticipates the day of judgment, and Christians are exhorted and encouraged to live with a view to the future and that glory which is to come. God will destroy this present universe and created anew, new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. If you are not a righteous person, if you do not stand in the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, even heaven itself would become a hell to you. The world today mocks the righteous. The world today mocks an open universe. They teach a closed universe, closed to all supernatural influences, going on and running down by the process of evolution. They are willingly ignorant that the flood took place in time and history and can be verified. They close their eyes to it. They interpret or misinterpret all the facts by their own sinful presuppositions. The truth is that we, throughout the New Testament, are exhorted to live with the anticipation of glory. Will I spend eternity in heaven? I'm not so sure. I may spend eternity on the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. We may have much to occupy us in the praise of God, either in heaven or on earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. The righteous long for that day. May God bless these studies that we've had these last several years. We've considered all the things that are to underlie our Christian experience. I trust these studies have been blessed, encouraging, and strengthening. Father, bless, we pray, Your Word. Bless our study of it. Glorify Yourself. Might we live in anticipation of the glory which is to come. Glorify Yourself even in this. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.